Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast right here at Highland Park Baptist Church with Pastor Stephen Kyle and, what's that? I almost ran out of breath on that one.
And Ryan Tucker?
And Ryan Tucker, yeah. But, man, how's it going? I ask that question every week because I think people want to hear how Stephen Kyle's doing. Like, they want to know, a little bit about Stephen, man.
I'm a little frustrated right now because we've been having production problems.
Well, you know, that guy that does it, you got to talk to him maybe after this.
Technology, man.
Tech stuff.
I don't know how to do it.
Me neither.
Yeah. All I know is...
We just sit here and look pretty.
That's the problem. I don't know how to do it either.
When I hear Journey go, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, boy, here we go.
We made it like 10 minutes into the episode and had to restart.
Well, so. And we don't... We don't just come in here and start filming. We usually come in here and we kind of shoot the breeze a little bit and
get our vocal cords ready for it.
Yeah, honestly, just three guys sitting in a room having a conversation. And then, we pray. Well, let's pray before we start. And, God use this and bless this. And we pray people will hear it and understand the truth and get the gospel. And so every now and then, you start recording and then something goes a little haywire. And so
he's got a lot of buttons over there.
There's a lot of buttons. But from what I understand, we're running this thing on paper mache, styrofoam, paper clips. It's not like a world class type thing.
We need a donor to just cut us a check.
Well, I've been praying that we double our giving. I don't know what double of zero is. What's double of zero?
That'd still be zero.
So, our church provides this opportunity for us and the equipment. Absolutely. And, we could probably get better equipment, I guess, but we're able to pull it off. Or Journey's able to do it. But it's good. Life's good.
Yeah.
I had a great day yesterday. It looked like we had good attendance and
great
attendance. We had baptisms and had a little young lady come up to me while I was visiting after the second service, our high school minister's daughter.
Yeah.
And said, "Hey, today I gave my life to Jesus." And told her, I said, "Man, I'm so excited and happy for you. Best decision you'll ever make." And I turned back around and she started crying.
Yeah.
And, I heard her mom say, "Oh no, these are happy tears," telling somebody. And they said, "What are you crying? Cause of you told Pastor Stephen?" She goes, yeah, that's it. And so it's kind of a neat thing there. Yeah. And I think he's going to baptize her this Sunday with the other folks that'll be baptized. And if he's like me, he'll be a blubbering mess.
Yeah.
Cause you pray. You pray for your kids to come to know the Lord, and you at an early age start teaching them the gospel. And most kids who grow up in church and grow up in a Christian family have a better understanding of the gospel than those people who got saved in the gospels. And we celebrate that. It was a good day to be able to hear that, and I had the opportunity to go, and we had a big luncheon for our active military families here in our church, and we're a big military church. A lot of Air Force, a couple of Navy people here, but some Coast Guard, but a lot of Air Force. And it was a good time, just to be able to love on them and celebrate them. And
I heard it was a good turnout.
It was a great turnout. I had a guy in our church, young guy, who's in the Air Force, who's deployed a few times, and he was interviewed, and it was good. It resonated with them. A lot of the things he was saying, it got lost on me. I'm not military.
Yeah.
But, man, it really struck a chord with them, and you could tell it was appreciated, and it was kind of some emotional things that were talked about. But it was a good day. And then last night, my wife and I have a group, and we do this, I don't know, we usually do it every 2 years, but because of Jennifer's cancer treatment and stuff, it's been 3 years. But we started, I don't know, a month or so ago with a group.
Has it been that long? Been 3 years since I've done one?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. She, but we what we do is we pray and look for three young couples that we feel like we could pour into that might take them to that next level. And, you know, this time we've got, we've actually got a couple in there that, you know, they're probably already at the next level, but they have for years been saying, man, we really want to do this. Yeah. We really want to do this. So we've got three in there where we just go and we walk through every book of the Bible. And last night, one of the parts of their homework was for them to write their testimony and be able to share it in 3 minutes or less, which is a hard thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they say 3 minutes, man. If you can get it down in 3 minutes, that's about all that people are going to listen to. And so we let them go over a little bit, but it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so rich.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be covering the first part of Acts, and we didn't get to it.
Really?
The testimonies were so good that we just said, you know what, we'll pick back up on Acts next week. Let's just keep going. And people very transparent, just talking about struggles that they had and, you know, assurance of salvation and, you know, maybe sin in their life. Just a lot of things, So it was good to hear that. And Jennifer and I shared ours as well. But, you know, if you've been around our church, you've heard mine quite regularly. But it was a good night. Yeah. Good night. Got home and, you know, we were heading home and I'm like, boy, I could eat something, and I want to eat something that's probably not good for you.
McDonald's Happy Meal.
No, even though I'll eat a McDonald's Happy Meal every
will.
Now and then.
I
yeah,
know you will.
The I'm not ashamed of it. Now my wife won't. My wife, yeah. She, well, we've got to be remote, nowhere. There's no option. Yeah. She hadn't eaten in 10 hours.
Yeah.
It's only McDonald's. The so we're riding home, and I'm like, man, let's stop and get something, you know. And she goes, nah, I just go home and I eat a bowl of cereal. And I'm like, I can be honest, I want something greasy. And so I went to Wendy's. I've not been in Wendy's in forever. And I got me one of those spicy chicken sandwiches. Mm. No tomato, no mayo, just lettuce. And I don't even know why I put lettuce on it. I guess just to soak up a little bit of the spice. Yeah. Fries and got a little small Frosty.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, all we got's vanilla. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. And I said something to Jeremy. She goes, that's not the original vanilla. Vanilla's not the original. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. It's fine. I wanted the original. But then they gave it to me and I'm like, pretty sure this is original. So they didn't know what they had.
Yeah.
And then I got home and that's kind of it.
Now we're here.
It was a good day. Now we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had some stuff today. You've had some stuff today.
Yeah.
But a Monday's always playing, you know, catch up from Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's evaluate and let's what went right, what went wrong, what can get better. And, you know, I know a lot of pastors. Back in the old days, pastors would take Mondays off.
Yeah.
I've never done that. I usually try not to come in the office on Friday, but ministry goes on.
Yep.
Like this last Friday, you know, I had a wedding I had to go and get ready for and rehearsal and drive about an hour away. And it just is what it is, ministry.
Yeah.
But I try to not come in the office on Friday. Friday's the day that I try to date my wife. Try to take her somewhere, do something, do this, do that. So anyway, but today was a good day. Got to have some meetings. Had 3 or 4 cups of coffee. Had a Coca-Cola with peanuts in it for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And now I find myself here, just hanging out.
Talking about Daniel chapter 11.
That's right. Three guys shooting the breeze.
That's right.
Right here in this room, hoping that everything's recording like normal.
We added a guy.
Well, you.
Used to be two guys.
Well, three guys before. We don't want you talking now, man. You need to make sure those buttons are working right.
Yeah.
It's the... Hard,
the critical button is working still.
Hard to reproduce some of this stuff, you know?
I know it, man.
But a lot of folks do. Well, let's say this before you jump into Daniel chapter 10.
11.
Or, excuse me, 11. Daniel 11. The we don't sit there and script this.
Nope.
We don't, hey, I'm going to ask you this question. That every now and then you'll say,
I'll give you heads up.
Hey, yeah. I'm thinking about going here. But I like the spontaneity. I really do. I like just...
we're gonna have some of it today.
Well, yeah. We're not gonna talk about 500 years of history. Or did you get a question?
I do in a roundabout way, but yeah. We got to get there first.
Do you tell your wife, hey, I want you to write this question?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Just make
no.
sure. And by the way, your wife sang yesterday. What's the name of that song?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Come Jesus, come.
Come Jesus, come. It's like a whining song.
I think that's the name of
that's
it.
That's it? No, that's it.
Yeah.
Man, knocked it out of the water.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yes.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty, too. Did you hear that? Well, I said it out loud in public.
She did a great job. We were talking before. That's my favorite song she sings.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it was good. It's easy to preach after stuff like that.
Yeah. It was a good day. So Daniel chapter, yeah, it's a lot of history. In fact, I wrote on here, this is a history lesson.
The first part of it is.
Yeah. But you even say, you know, there's 135 specific details that are talked about in 35 verses, but they all came true.
135 details that were fulfilled.
Yeah.
In goodness, see, 530 BC is when I believe Daniel wrote this. So, in the next 400 years happened. I mean, you can take your history book and world history book and sit there and read it, and you're like, oh, wow, that's what he was saying right here.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. There's no other.
Right.
There's no other book out there. That's when the Bible is alive and supernatural, but there's nothing else out there that's like, let me tell you minute details. I mean, every now and then there might be somebody who writes something and they take a wild guess and they get it right.
Yeah.
But supposedly, you know, I mean, we're in, 2025? We're supposed to be flying around in space right now, like a Jetsons car or something like that. And but the Bible, and it's just so precise.
Yeah. Well, you even say, like, we don't need history to prove the Bible, but history proves the Bible.
Right. Yeah, history and the Bible are not at odds.
Right.
Nor is future in the Bible at odds.
Right.
And I'll add, nor is science in the Bible at odds.
Right.
There are those who try to paint a picture as though it is. I would say this. I would say for those who sit there and say science is at odds with history, I would say, what is your definition of science?
Yeah.
A lot of times people believe hypotheses to be actual fact.
Right.
No, let's talk about the facts of science. And it's kind of like God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And you could stretch that, like the whole hypotheses thing. Like we do that with a lot of things. We take a lot of thoughts and ideas and make it fact, and it's not. So,
well, we were talking last week in staff meeting when I was doing a devotion and just talking about how God is perfect and how he has done everything. And I don't remember, I had somebody look up, hey, how far is the sun from the earth? And, you know,
we all got it
everybody wrong. Got it desperately wrong, right? But and that's where a great research assistant would come in. Matter of fact, I think we even had a little shout out that we have here to our young friend named Lucas, who loves to listen to us. Matter of fact, I think he listens to us as his mom drives down the road. Oh. But Lucas has expressed interest in coming on the show and, you know, maybe helping us out a little bit. I mean, we'd have to get him a ride. He can't drive. But Lucas, we're gonna carve up a date and work it where you can come in here and help us out, maybe be research assistant. And maybe, I mean, the reality is it can't be too hard what Journey's doing. So maybe maybe Lucas could be a stand-in or something.
I'll take the day off.
Yeah. And so, a little special shout out to Lucas. But if the Earth were a mile closer to the sun, we would burn to death. A mile further away, we would freeze to death. And again, just, man, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. And if God says it, it's going to happen the way God says.
So you talk about this prophecy stuff. You know, you talk about the day, you talk about the disposition, you talk about the domain and the defeat. And, you know, you're talking about the coming of the earthly king, I think is the way that you said it. I couldn't remember how you said it, but, there is some you know, even in today's culture, you know, there's some questions about what's going to happen. There's some question about when it's going to happen, what it's going to look like. And I know that we've talked a little bit about, you know, end time things. We've talked a little bit about the Antichrist, and, you know, you kind of talked about the day. No one knows when the rapture is going to happen. No one knows when Jesus is coming back. But
the Bible does say, Ryan, that we can know the season.
Right.
We can know the season. And when we say season, we're not talking about, you know, spring, winter, fall, right? Summer. It doesn't define what a season of time is. Basically, what it says is when you look around and you see some of this stuff taking place, you know it's not far away.
When I try to warn my young adults, you know, there's so much stuff on social media about who the Antichrist is and all the, like, given dates and times, you know, I try to remind them quite often, you know, don't base your theology or, you know, your biblical worldviews based off of what you're seeing on social media. Like, we have to go to scripture and see what it's talking about and how we work our lives through the context of scripture. And it's just, there's a lot when it comes to all this stuff, and you handle it well. But there's just, it's heavy.
Oh, this easily.
Yeah.
11 could have been 6 weeks worth of sermons. But to me, you take it all together or it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I say this, my goal is not, I want to come in here and get a history lesson and that's it. No, let's talk about the history, but then let's talk about the joy and and the glory that's in this prophecy. And, you know, my whole thing is just trying to, hey, look, no matter what may happen in life, understand, man, God's got a plan, and it will happen the way he said it. And as I said, in the end, God wins. And no matter how difficult life gets, it will not change the fact that God has already determined, here's how this thing will play out. And so there's hope and there's joy in the unknown future on our behalf in the fact that God does know how this whole thing's going to play out. But, yeah, we were talking about his day. Kind of that timing of when it'll take place.
Yeah.
I don't think the Antichrist is going to come on the scene until the church has been raptured.
Right.
As a result, now I'm not saying he won't be alive. I think he'll be alive.
Right.
But I don't think he'll come to prominence until that happens. And I think the main thing, and I shared this yesterday in the message, is, man, he's going to be one of the greatest social and economic and military leaders that the world has ever known. But kind of what's going to be that unifying force is he's going to figure out a way to be able to, I believe, bring a lasting, what it will appear to be a lasting agreement between the Jews and all the Arab nations that are around them, that it's going to center around how the land is divided up.
Right.
And that'll only last for a little while, because I think the Jews are going to be, oh man, this is great, this is wonderful, and everything will be fine, until all of a sudden he says, oh, by the way, now worship me.
Yeah.
And that's when the Jews are going to say, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. But the timing, I had somebody yesterday, you know, they came and they said, man, this is going to be terrible for us to be able to witness all this. And I said, well, my understanding is, and the way I interpret the scripture is, this is not going to happen with the church here. I don't believe that I will see this take place.
Right.
Not from earth. Right. You can make an argument, are you going to see it from heaven or not? And we could argue about that all day. But I don't believe the church will be here. And there are folks that are like, I don't take this as a symbolic thing. Or I take, you know, so much of prophecy, and I think this is key for people to keep in mind, the prophecy would deal with an immediate fulfillment, and then it would also, it's a foreshadowing of what will come in the future. It's almost like the gospel that's woven throughout even the Old Testament. You have the ark, and you look at what took place. The ark saved Noah and, you know, his family and the animals from the judgment of God, which was the flood. And yet we also see that as, the ark is a picture of Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
And the salvation that he offers to those that believe him from the coming judgment of God. And we see that all the time throughout the Bible. And it's also true with prophecy. So there's some folks that say, oh, no, this is talking about Antiochus and, you know, the first desecration right. in the temple. And it's not talking about an antichrist, but yet to me, you take that and you couple it with Revelation. Right. I think it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's something that the church is going to have to worry about, because I think the church will already be out of here.
And you remind us, you know, all the time, like this, you're right. This isn't something to be, this is something that we can take confidence in, that the Bible is absolutely true. We know that Jesus is going to prove himself. We know that Jesus wins. So as a believer, we can have complete confidence, and this should not get us all up in arms.
Yeah, well, and there are people that want to challenge and get us to believe
right.
that the Bible is just a book that is right. written by men
right.
that has no yeah. supernatural,
right.
miraculous theme to it, and I would say history proves that's wrong.
Well, and then you can take us to Daniel 11, and all these things are validated.
Yeah, and you can go yeah. back, and even literary scholars that are not even Christians would sit there and validate, okay, yeah, we think Daniel was written at this point in time,
right.
and Jesus is the one who said that Daniel wrote it, and then to see the history that takes place, how can you argue that? I would say a lot of folks, though, they just because somebody has the word expert around
yeah,
their
yeah.
name, assume that they are automatically yeah. speaking
right.
with this amazing factual credibility, and they can speak it really well,
yeah.
which, oh, it must be true, because
yeah.
look at how well they speak it.
Yeah.
I would just say, man, examine it yourself.
Yeah.
I even tell our people, you know, people who listen to me preach, hey, don't take my word for
yeah.
it. Examine the Bible yourself. The Bible says to test the spirits, right?
Yeah.
So, man, test it. See if it matches up with what God's word says. And I would say that's true for every Christian. But I would also say as well, man, know the Bible.
Yeah.
Dig into the Bible.
Yeah.
Be able to understand it. If you're a follower of Christ, be able to say, here's why I believe what I believe. And it's based not based upon what a man taught me or based upon what my mama taught me. No, it's based upon what the Word of God taught me.
Yeah.
I think that's key. That is, again, what this program is based off of.
Yeah.
This is an unchangeable truth.
Yeah.
The Bible, there will never be a Bible edition 2025.
Right. Right.
It's the same today,
yeah.
And there's great hope in that. So, the season, we can look around and see.
And then, you know, you talk about the disposition, like what's it going to be like? And in this, you kind of talk about some of the characteristics of the Antichrist. You kind of talk about how, you know, there's going to be this, he's going to promote self-worship. One of the questions that we got, though, and I've really never heard this question asked, was like, if the Antichrist is alive today, right? And some people speculate that he is.
I've heard preachers say, I believe he shaved this morning.
Yeah. Does he know right now that he is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
To me, there's no verse of scripture that would say he does.
Correct. Right.
So, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. I think if he did think he was, I think he would try to fast track this thing.
Mm.
But again, that's presumption. I don't
yeah.
know. I mean, I don't have verse to hang it on.
Well, and I guess I'm thinking I kind of thought the different route, you know, I'm thinking on a human level, like, you know, he does, maybe he's just waiting on some of the political things to play out and working on. You use a term like waiting to be released, but waiting to prosper. I don't know. I don't know. That's,
yeah.
I didn't know how to answer that question either. But.
Sure. Yeah. To me, there's no answer.
Okay.
Any yeah. way you answered it would just merely be, oh, this is my assumption.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, I have nothing really to hang
yeah.
that on. You know, will he even know will he be so self-consumed with himself that he doesn't even think he is the Antichrist?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think the guy's going to go around, I'm the Antichrist.
True. Sure.
You know, because he's going to use the first 3.5 years. It would be self-deception to where even if people – he would not fit the bill of what we think of when we think of the Antichrist, because when it comes to the Antichrist, we want to think of the viciousness and the evil. We want to think of the guy that's going to finally come to fruition in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation.
That's a good point.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe even at the first – maybe this is an evolution that's going to take place. I can't answer that. I don't know. You know, I do know this. The Bible says there that he will basically forsake the God of his fathers.
Yeah.
And then it talks a little bit. Well, there's one translation, one biblical translation that says God, and then there's another one that says the gods. And it talks about the desire of women, and some people have even said, "Well, the desire of women means that he will be a homosexual." That's not what it means at all.
Yeah.
It's basically talking about the natural, the normal, the desire of women is talking about worship.
Yeah,
the worship of a god. So, depending on how you interpret that, and I guess we could go back to the original language and really dig into it. But whether we're talking about Christianity, whether we're talking about Judaism, whether we're talking about Muslim, this guy's not going to embrace any God except himself.
Right.
And that's a great question. I don't know.
If
there's verse out there that would say, I don't know it.
Yeah.
I can promise you I'll try to dig in a little bit more, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that something that, you know, if he's alive right now, he's sitting there buying his time. Aha! You know, I can say this. I think what we see in people's lives, very few folks all of a sudden make this boom. I'm going straight out all evil.
Mm.
It's usually a progression. I think it does make the state that the background that he comes out of is going to be a religious background.
Mm.
And man, I can when we get into Revelation, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And when we get into Revelation, I'll even tell you, I think he's going to come out of a highly religious background.
Wow.
That is based in Rome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got a few. I'm ready for Revelation, man. I think that'd be a good thing.
We'll get all kinds of questions and comments then.
So you talk about the land, and I'll mention the Middle East, you know, briefly. Like, I think it's important that we pay attention to the things that are happening in the Middle East, right? There's going to be some things go on. There's going to, you know, you talked about Armageddon, all those things. Your last point with our few seconds that we have left, you know, that there will be this defeat of the Antichrist. Like, everything that he sets up is going to fail because Jesus ultimately conquers everything. And there's our confidence.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. And I love the fact that it basically says, you know, he's going to plant, this is verse 45, he's going to plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. I mean, basically they're in Jerusalem, right? Yet he will, and then all of a sudden it's just like this little statement. Yet he shall come to his end.
Yeah.
It's almost like, just like, he's going to do all this, and then boom, nothing.
Yeah.
And no one will help him. I would say nobody can help him.
Yeah.
You know, all the fanfare, all the glory, all the him exalting himself, worship me. You know, he is the savior we've been waiting for. He has finally brought resolution between, you know, all the parties that are in the Middle East. And then, boom, it's done. It's over. Jesus will speak one word and it'll be finished.
Mm.
And we get to, you know, the church that's been raptured gets to come back with him, and he won't need our help.
Yeah.
We're just going to be there to glory in him as he does what he says he's going to do.
Mm.
And so as a result of that, you can trust him.
Yeah.
Trust him with your now. You can trust him with your tomorrow. You can trust him with everything.
Yeah.
Ultimately, God has called us to be people of faith. Faith and feelings do not, you know, they are not dependent upon each other. Sometimes your feelings will lie to you, and you have to rely upon your faith.
Yeah.
You
know, if you're watching and listening, please understand this is a really big topic we could dive way more into. But if you have questions, please let us know. But we want to thank you for watching and thank you for listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.